All right, Wayne Bettis here, the founder of the Off The Tools podcast. I just want to introduce you to our brand new sponsor, directplumbingsupplies.com. It is founded by a former tradesman who has set up his own plumbing and heating merchants. He has an online shop, which is obviously at directplumbingsupplies.com, and he delivers across the UK. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of the show.
You are now listening to Off The Tools with the one and only Wayne Bettis.
If you're passionate and driven and focused in what you do, people will take notice. You can achieve anything you want to achieve in life.
The excuses are not valid.
Welcome to another episode of the Off The Tools podcast. I have an absolute banger for you today. I want to introduce Ryan from Unlimited Education. Ryan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, mate. I'm buzzing to get chatting, get waffling.
Yeah, no, me too, man. For those, well, not that it's even relevant, but we played football together as a kid. So there's as kids, so we've got a slight connection, but it's what, been 16, 17 years since them days. So
yeah.
It's great to actually speak to you, see you. And we found out that we live 10 minutes away from each other, which again is just crazy. With the internet, you forget that you can actually be so close to someone, but never see them and never know them. So for those that don't know anything about you, can you just sort of introduce yourself, maybe give us a little bit of backdrop to who you are and that's led you to what you're doing nowadays?
Yeah, so I started in football coaching. I had a passion for football and sport. And as I got older, I decided that I'd go into teaching. Then from then, I quickly realized that my passion wasn't in sport. It was in exercise and the human body. So from there, I kind of developed more of a passion for the body, strength and conditioning, biochemistry. And it just led me down this rabbit hole into loads of mentors that kind of help expand my mind from just basically lifting weights to understanding the physiology and the biochemistry, and then that went right through to the mind and how hormones kind of play a functional role in our health and our well-being. So, and that's where I'm at today. I'm specializing in natural hormone optimization for men, really, because I feel like that's something that I have the most kind of experience in going through kind of different elements in my past that I'm sure we'll delve a little bit deeper in further along in the podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now, this is, you know, from a personal point of view, I just want to listen to you, you know, because I want to know about all of this stuff. And your first statement there about hormone optimization, all right, I'm not going to lie, for a vast majority of people listening, they're probably thinking, A, hormones are for women. I don't know what the hell's this guy on about.
Yeah.
Optimization. What am I, a computer? Right, yeah, what's going on? So let's hit that one first. Can you sort of like explain that in a bit more of a understandable way? What is it?
So there's no such thing as a bad hormone. There's an imbalance in hormones. So we might know of testosterone being the main male hormone. And that's the thing that a lot of people go to straight away. They say, I'm not feeling great. They go onto a forum or go onto a website and they'll say, you have low testosterone. So that's the first thing that most men will kind of come to the conclusion that testosterone is a hormone. As well as that, there's different types of hormones. So there's catabolic hormones, which are hormones that break down things to give us energy, and there's anabolic hormones, which help with repair, rest, digestion, and things like that. So having optimized hormones just basically allows you to be happy, hoy, and healthy. That's the easiest way I can think of telling someone, rather than trying to go too deep into the context. And then it just makes it kind of makes it ununderstandable. Like, so you can't really kind of relate to the topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that scares a lot of people is not understanding it, like not knowing what do you mean and what is it.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you. You obviously have a lot more knowledge on this for me than I do, but it's. I believe that hormone, testosterone, and everything around diet and everything of what we consume in the modern day life is just like anti-man, basically.
Definitely, definitely.
It's like geared up to like just ruin us.
Yeah, yeah. They're saying that there was a study that was put out, I think within the last few years, that basically said that at this rate, most 30-year-olds are going to have to be on hormone replacement therapy. So hormone replacement therapy is getting bioidentical hormones and putting it in your body because your body's not producing the right amounts of it anymore. So as a 30-year-old, that's quite scary thinking about that. Seeing as a lot of people have heard of menopause, a lot of people haven't really heard of the similar kind of impact on men, and it's called andropause. Basically, our hormones as we get older every year, say it deteriorates by 1% a year. So if you, from 30 onwards, so if you're deteriorating 1% of testosterone a year, you think of the impact that it has when you get to maybe 70, 80 years old. That's pretty much when we should really have lower testosterone, not low testosterone, but lower testosterone. Yeah. Not in our
30s. We should be in our prime, shouldn't we? Surely.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
That's the age bracket. 25 to 40 surely is like, for a man, that's when they've got their strength and ability and everything's going for them, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Crazy. I read a study that was from America, and I can't remember the exacts, but it was to do with testosterone. And it was, if you took a sample from a man in the 1930s compared to a man today, like just in that lifespan, we've got like one third of what the testosterone was in that equivalent, down to like diet. And I guess it's not just diet, is it? I guess it's like what activities we do and
yes,
mind and everything that goes with that.
So, yes. So I've categorized them into our fundamentals. So I think it's Maslow has a hierarchy of fundamental needs. And you think about what is the most important thing for us to live optimally. So like you said, our nutrition, so our nourishment, our mind, so our stress, our relationship with stress, movement, also being able to have a healthy environment. So if you're constantly around stressors, electronics, inside all the time, never see the sun, it's going to have a massive impact on your health, and especially your hormone health. The sun is probably the most important and vital element for our health. Like without the sun, if we were to shut ourselves in a bunker, we would quickly deteriorate and it would result in limiting symptoms and then quickly mutate into some sort of life-limiting disease.
Wow. So on a personal note, I recently had some blood tests because, long story short, since COVID, I've just felt awful, like not really recovered. Anyway, they've said I've got long COVID or some shit. But in the tests that I paid for, it come up that I was vitamin D
deficient.
So I'm now supplementing with that. But since finding you, I'm now going to look at more natural ways rather than just like trying to introduce more of this into my life, because it all just makes so much sense. Like it's sometimes it can be staring you in the face, kind of like, you know, eat better, eat greens and all that sort of stuff. It's so important. And things like the sun, you just neglect that, don't you? You just think, sun, what can that do for me?
Yeah. And it's not sunny today, so I'm not going to get sun. It's like, it's exposure to light. So it's exposure to natural light that's going to, our body runs on a rhythm every single day. Like if we don't get that exposure to light, that rhythm doesn't start. So our processes that happen during the day aren't gonna have that.
What do they do that? I can't say it.
It's circadian
rhythm, something like that.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Circadian. Yeah,
circadian. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
circadian
it.
Rhythm. Yeah. So that is basically our body's primitive clock. So you release cortisol in the morning, which is our hormone that helps us to deal with stress. And it's released in the highest amount during the morning, so the waking hours. then as you go through the day, it's gradually kind of lowers to allow your anabolic hormones, so melatonin, which helps you sleep, and then human growth hormone and testosterone, which help with repair, to secrete and work their magic through the night whilst you sleep. But if you don't go out and get that sunlight, you're not going to get that response, that cortisol response. And then additionally to that, melatonin, which is released at night, it has to reset itself, and then it takes 12 hours to fully restore. So you get out in the sunlight at 7 a.m., for example, your melatonin resets itself. And then guess what? At 7 p.m., you've got melatonin again. So you're going to feel tired. You're going to have a nice restful night's sleep. If you don't get out in that sunlight, say I get out there at midday, that's midnight that my melatonin is going to start releasing again. So I'm going to get to like 8 o'clock, get into bed and be like, why can't I sleep? Because you've got literally no anabolic hormones being released. And there's also an inverse relationship between cortisol and your anabolic hormones. So if cortisol's high in the evening, your anabolic hormones are going to be low. So you must make sure that, going back to what we were saying, that circadian rhythm, making sure that's cemented, you're following that circadian rhythm so that it releases the right hormones at the right times so that your body functions optimally.
Yeah, wow. And on top of all of that, we're constantly putting light on us, aren't we?
Yes, like, artificial light, yeah. Like,
so we're just confusing our bodies 10 times more.
I know.
You're obviously similar age to me. And yeah. I remember when mobile phones first come out, right? And like everyone was like, don't put it near your head, you'll die. Like, yeah. And hold it out here. Everyone's sort of like totally forgotten that, haven't they? Even though it's probably 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The light that I've tested this myself. And I've got myself like through years of like learning and education, I've got myself to a place now where I know what I can do. I guess it's my age as well. I'm 34 now. So I've sort of understand the like balance a little bit better.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't go on my phone after 10 good. O'clock. I know good. 10 o'clock's late, but for me, it works out that I,
yeah,
10 o'clock, half 10, I go up, half 10 till half 11-ish, I read and just in the dark, just with a little dim light on. And then I have a great night's sleep. And I use this thing called a Whoop band.
Yeah, they're amazing.
My new one, I've been waiting like 12 weeks for the newest one and it's not come. But I believe in tracking all of this. So it tracks my sleep. So I know when I've had a good recovery. I'm really into this. Like, this is why I'm so excited to have you on.
What do they say? What gets tracked gets managed. What gets managed gets... I can't think improved. Of the last
one. Yeah. Basically, you've got to track it to improve it. You've got to measure it and manage it. And this literally tells me my heartbeat, my resting heart rate. The new version is going to be my skin temperature and my blood oxygen levels. And there's so much data.
That's so good.
Literally see that if I've been on the phone late, for example, if I've like sometimes I do a podcast in the night, if it's an American guest or whatever, you know, you can see it in the data. You can see I had a shit night's sleep, didn't recover, which then had a knock-on effect on that day because I hadn't recovered. So I didn't have the energy. I didn't have the motivation.
That is brilliant. And that's where...
No, you first.
I was going to say, that's when it all comes down to stress. Because people say, get your sleep right. There's no point in saying it. It's like you saying to me, get more money. It's like, what do you think I'm trying to do? Like, it's like, you know, it's not the sleep, it's the stress. If I'm stressed or I'm not setting that rhythm up, that internal clock, I'm not going to have good night's sleep. Like if I'm on the phone till midnight, I'm not going to have a good night's sleep. So stress is the number one thing that you need to ensure that you balance and sort out before you can think about anything else. And then the next step would be sleep. And then the next step will be looking at other things like nourishment and movement and your environment. Like environment will probably be last, but it's still in those fundamentals and it's still important.
Yeah. And in this, most of the people listening and watching this are going to be tradesmen. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a physical job.
Yeah.
Stressful job because we're dealing with customers. We're dealing with like responsibilities as well. Do you know, like we do, a lot of us are gas engineers. So
we
have that like responsibility not to kill anyone at its base level. Do you know, like we're touching things that can cause damage. So stress is a, I think most of us have got used to being stressed And that's not healthy, is it? To just be used to it.
and we're not managing stress. We're just getting on with it. We're just kind of, and the thing about stress is it accumulates. People think just because they don't feel a certain way, they're not stressful right now. Like 10 years of stress accumulates. And then guess what? You have a breakdown. Your body just goes, nah, you're right. And then you think, what have I done in the last couple of weeks? What did I do this weekend? What did I do? Whatever. Why am I feeling like this? It's 10 years of accumulated stress. That's what it is. Without the stress coping mechanisms or the repair, the rest, the deload, the reload, the transition, or without having any of those things, that accumulation of stress is just going to boil over.
Yeah, I've been a very stressful person, and I don't know about for probably about 5 years, it just become normal, and it was only when I got a handle on it. And I sort of realized that I shouldn't be tired all the bloody time. Like, that's not normal. Yeah. And then I shouldn't feel like that. Then it sort of clicked. And then, like, now, obviously, I still get stresses. Of course, like, you're not going to eradicate it. But what can people do? What can people do is to actually reduce it or eliminate it? What's the best steps?
Yeah, so cortisol often gets like a bad rap as saying, if you have high cortisol or you have cortisol in your body, that is a negative thing. But like anything in life, it's balance. Like, you need to balance out your cortisol. If you didn't have cortisol, you'd just release adrenaline. So everyone's heard of adrenaline. Adrenaline is the thing that if I'm in a jungle somewhere and a lion comes out at me, I'm going to get a hit of adrenaline. I'm going to be able to like either outrun that lion. If I get slashed by that lion, I'm not going to be able to feel it, because that's what cortisol and adrenaline do. They numb the pain response. They help us metabolize food and stuff like that. So in order to balance your cortisol, you've got to make sure that when you when it's being released in your body, it's being used for energy. And one of the best things actually is manual labor. So that's one of the best things. So when you're saying that all of our guys are doing manual tasks and a lot of physical exertion, cortisol basically goes into your liver and it takes liver glycogen for energy, just so that you can respond to that stressful situation or environment. The thing is, that stressful environment is often what our brain perceives as stressful. So just because our brain is telling us it's stressful, it doesn't actually mean it's stressful. So it could be getting caught in traffic. It could be talking to a difficult customer. It could be just anything that kind of stresses you out. Then you're having this energy that's in your body that is basically just sitting there waiting for you to use it up. And that's often kind of associated with anxiety, that weird restless feeling that you get. So there's loads of things you can do. But the most important thing is to remove inflammation through balancing out our fundamentals. So we have a central nervous system that's responsible for making us react to stress and helping us to repair, digest, and rest. And what we need to try and get into is our restful state. So it's without getting too complex, sympathetic means that we are in that stressful state. Parasympathetic means that we're in that restful state. And if someone's saying to you, well, how do I know if I'm in a stressful state or not? Are you having GI disturbance? So are you always either constipated or the opposite? Do you find that when you eat, you get a lot of gas and bloating? Do you find that you're burping a lot? Do you find that you're passing wind a lot? That's one sign of having chronic stress, because basically the blood is in your intestines helping you digest the food. It's on your skin. It's in your muscles. It's making your heartbeat faster so that you can either outrun the danger or fight the danger.
Right. Wow. Okay. I've never understood it like that. So I want to go back a couple of steps there. Mate, there's so much time picking that statement. let me just regroup there. So, let's hit that anxiety issue, because this is, again, going to cut. I like to use personal experiences, and the podcast is called Off the Tools, right? So as you can imagine, I'm off the tools. So I don't do manual labor as much, especially the last 2 years. Yeah, that's been like really where it's the manual labour for me has stopped quite heavily. And when I don't exercise now, I start to get anxious. I do.
Yep.
You know, I get this feeling in my chest, you know, that like for a while I didn't really know what it was. But it definitely is anxiety of some description, and it makes perfect sense because obviously when I'm out running, I'm using that cortisol then, aren't I? I'm using up that demand. But the times when I'm busy and busy, you know, working and hustling my way through, the running stops. And because I'm not out manually working, I'm sat at this desk doing these meetings. Yeah, I might get a bit pumped up, but that for me is a real eye opener because I've always linked it to the exercise releasing the cortisol. Anxiety. I didn't know about the cortisol. So I just thought it was the actual act of exercise that was just clearing my mind, maybe getting out of the desk for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like people think that, like I was saying, they want high of everything. They want high testosterone. They want low cortisol. They want high this. They want low this. They think more is better, but it's balancing it out. Like if you, for example, are someone who's always stressed and you're always releasing cortisol to help you in putting that energy in the right place or dealing with that stress response, then what's going to happen is you're going to fatigue the system that secretes cortisol. So you might have heard it before, your cortisol is released from your adrenal glands. And a lot of people say, I have adrenal fatigue. So too much releasing of the cortisol results in something that's been termed by not Western medicine, but holistic health as adrenal fatigue. And it basically means that it stops secreting cortisol. So that when you're releasing cortisol, when you're supposed to release cortisol, you just release adrenaline. And that's when you get anxious because you think you've got adrenaline, you've got no cortisol to help change it into energy to use up in your body. You've just got adrenaline floating around your body and you're feeling, like you said, you're feeling restless. You want to go and exercise. When you go and exercise, then that uses up that adrenaline and it makes you feel better. But then on the other side of it, if you're always using the stress constantly, it's going to come to a point where you're just knackered, you're fatigued and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's just about balancing it out, not overdoing it with stressful tasks, stimulants, other things that are just going to cause more stress, and instead just balancing out, using it effectively so that you feel happier, you feel healthier, and you feel more relaxed when you should be relaxed.
That's really, really been eye opening for me because it's just dotted the lines together, and made sense. And one thing that I only recently found out as well was that coffee. I'm a big coffee drinker, or was. I'm trying to wean myself off of it. But I didn't realise that it triggered the same stress fight or flight system as stress and everything. That's what it's doing. Yeah. It's basically and that again explains. Again, it might be for some of you listening, it might be obvious, but for me, it wasn't. But you know, you get that coffee high, but then you get the coffee low, don't you? And
exactly.
I guess that's the adrenaline and everything dropping out and dissipating, and that's when you feel down from the coffee, so to speak.
Exactly. You think you use up that reserve, and if you're constantly having like a double espresso, like two times a day, to help you get that cortisol boost, then you're just gonna it's not gonna have it's just the sensitivity is gonna go, and you're not gonna have that same response, and then you're like, why don't I get the same response from it anymore? Instead of just naturally getting your cortisol released from waking up, seeing the sun, and then getting your energy that way, it just has a negative impact. And just all stimulants, like, so social media is a stimulant.
That little ping of WhatsApp, man.
They're just stimulants that just cause that release of all that stress response. And even things like, going on your social media and then seeing something that you either have a strong like disagreement with, or that it's almost like getting into a physical fight. Like you still release that same fight or flight response. Like just having a bit of a conversation with something, or just seeing a post that you think, what on earth is that? Like I totally disagree with that.
Yeah. And again, from personal experience, you know, like especially when Brexit and everything was going on, I was an advocate for, like, I was out there, I was fighting with everybody, arguing with everybody about you're wrong, I'm right, I know what I'm on about, you don't.
Yeah.
And after all of that, I sort of was just like, Jesus, this ain't healthy, man. Like, I basically stopped doing anything political. I don't watch the news.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't I use social media too much. That is a vice of mine. I tried to produce more than I consume, if that makes sense. So I sort of have internal quotas that, right, okay, if I'm putting out enough, you know, I can justify that I can consume a little bit.
Yeah.
But one thing that I've learned, and you've, again, that just nailed it, and hopefully you'll agree with me, is that our bodies are working from a system that was built million years ago, whenever it was, yeah? So getting like a smartphone with all that possibility and it just, our system can't cope with it. And we wonder why we wonder why we have men have the highest suicide rate, for example.
Yeah.
Why men are walking around like fucking zombies.
Yeah.
Because they've got no energy and they've got no drive, because everything, all their natural resources are being used on a stupid fucking 9-inch screen or whatever it is.
I know, and this is a lot of the clients that I deal with, it's sexual functioning problems. So it'll be things like erectile dysfunction. It'll be, and it won't just be what people always associate with erectile dysfunction. I think can't get it up. Let's have a Viagra. It's so much like more multifaceted than that. Like it's not, and it goes back to the constant simulations from your iPhone. One click, you can be on whatever site you want. You can go into your deepest desires, whatever. But just like anything else, just like a drug addict, they take one drug, then they're not getting the same response that they want. So they have to take another drug. And then, but before they know it, they're on the hardest drug and their life is gone. It's the same as the reward system with social media and the internet. You click on one thing, you're like, okay, I'm not really getting the same response out of that anymore. Now I need to do something else. And then it leads you down this rabbit hole where just normal, like for these guys, just normal intercourse with their partners isn't arousing them enough. Like, and they need to go back to basics of stop using your phone for that need, use your imagination, and then they'll quickly realize it's nothing to do with their blood flow. It's completely to do with their cognition and their mind. Like there's a lot of people that assume that it's either low testosterone, which is biochemistry, or low blood flow, which is to do with signs that you could have compromised cardiovascular health, so like heart disease or heart or stroke or something like that in the future. But it's completely mind related, and it's to do with their reward system and their neurotransmitters. So basically, you do something, your body releases a chemical to tell you that's pleasurable. You do it again, and theirs has just been worn out completely.
So it's going back to those fake stimulus, so to speak.
Yeah. Going back to the fundamentals, repairing, taking that time away from stress and stimulation, repairing the body, and you can basically. The body's so adaptable. You can fix your body. You can.
Isn't it like literally we're a new person every 28 days or something stupid, isn't it? Like from everything's reproduced from a cellular level.
Yeah, yeah. Your cells completely restore themselves. And that's like when people talk about intermittent fasting, they often just talk about the diet protocol of it. So, you're not eating till 1 o'clock, then you're going to lose weight because you're not eating as much. When the whole concept of intermittent fasting was cellular regeneration, it was to allow no food to come in. So the cells that were there weren't eating anything. So they'd die so that new cells would be born. So effectively, that's effectively a cure for cancer, because you're having new cells built every single day. So if there's any cancerous cells in there, they're dead and gone. You've got new cells coming in. So that was the idea behind it. And then people have just ruined it and said, oh, no, it's a diet because we're going to consume less calories because we're not eating till midday. All right, that's annoying for me, that is.
Again, on that note, the best I ever felt was when I was intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Like literally the best I felt. I felt strong, fit, healthy.
Yeah.
Horny. Yeah. You know, everything. Like I felt brilliant. And then like stupid, you go back to doing stupid stuff, didn't you? Like, I'm going to have to dig out some energy and focus it on that, to be honest, because I need to kickstart.
Well, well, give me a shout. I'll give you the progress. The thing is, people often will say intermittent fasting is not eating, but it's purposeful periods of not eating. So I know as soon as I'm breaking my fast, I know exactly what I'm eating in what amount. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not just like second guessing it and going, okay, sorry, can I just...
That's all right. Yeah. No worries. All right, sorry about that, guys. What was we saying there, Ryan?
So we were talking about intermittent fasting and that's it. So periods. So people think that intermittent fasting is just not eating until like said time and then just picking up whatever, but it's not. It's purposeful periods of not eating. So I know when I'm breaking my fast exactly what I'm eating, when I'm eating, how much of it I'm eating, and it's going to be nourishing. Like, I'm not going to say, I haven't eaten for 16, 17, 20 hours, whatever, so I'm just going to eat whatever I want. That's not the point of it. Like, that's what some people associate it with.
Yeah. And again, you've mentioned it quite a few times, but it's balance, isn't it? It's being, you know, like I always say to the people that I speak to, like, about this sort of stuff is, if you eat one Mars bar, right, it ain't the end of the world, guys, is it?
Yeah,
you eat a Mars bar every day,
okay,
then you might have a bit of a problem, mightn't you? And
exactly.
If you eat two a day, you've got even bigger problem.
It's
all about that moderation. And where do you think that's hormonal based? That, I don't know, this is just a random thought right now, but why are we all so like now and indulgent and like we want big and bigger and bigger and bigger
extra,
of it.
I don't know. I don't know where that's come from. I feel like we are definitely a generation of we want everything we want and we want it now. And I think it's partly because of the way that the world's changing, isn't it? Like Deliveroo and all stuff like that. Like, they're just making everything easier for everyone, aren't they? Just like you click this, it comes to your house. Like, I remember, like, we used to say, like, when we were younger, imagine if McDonald's delivered, and now they do. Like, literally, it's just like, it's mental. It's bizarre.
There's a kids film.
I can't remember what you're talking about. Wally.
Is it Wally? Yeah, and they're on that ship, aren't they? And they're all these fat, they've got no toes left, and like, and that's the way it's going, isn't it? Like,
anyone missing say that all the time. We are literally going to be that. We are literally going to be that generation.
The next step is that the delivery driver starts bringing it into the house, actually bringing it into the kitchen.
Cuts it up for you.
And like, do you want meals salt and wheels. Vinegar? Oh, God, what a world. What a world.
Devastating.
I always try to get some. So we've talked about erectile dysfunction. That is blatantly going to be like the headline. Learn how to get a hard on or something as the promotion. Fundamentally, I like to try and give people some tangible, direct things that they can do today or tomorrow. Yeah. That can make a start, because that's the most important bit, isn't it? Is getting started. Because once the law of what is it? A wheel in motion is a lot harder to stop, basically, you know. I'm not clever enough to remember the full quote, but the hardest part is getting started. So what can someone sitting here now start to do and hopefully set them free on a more healthier journey?
Yeah. So there's a quote that one of my mentors says, and it's not what's in the food, it's what's been done to the food. So instead of saying this food's bad, just try and stick to the most natural version of that food. So just as an example, apple is the most natural version. Apple juice is one of the most processed versions. The same as anything. If you're gonna, like we said about in moderation, if you want to eat a pizza, make it yourself. You know what I mean? Buy the base, buy the toppings, buy the spread, put it on. Like, it's not unhealthy if you make it yourself. If the ingredients are sourced, for example, if you're going to eat meat, like a lot of people give meat a bad rep, but the reason why it's got a bad rep is because of the processing behind it and the factory farming. If we were to eat organic meat that's grass-fed, pasture-raised, it's going to be better for us than the processed stuff. So the closer you can stick to nature when it comes to food, the better it is for you. Like, an example is me and my missus always go on about the tower burger from KFC. Like, you can easily make that yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, buy the potato, make it into a hash brown, buy the chicken breast, cut it up. Like, the brioche bun is probably the only thing that's going to fairly be processed, but how much better is that going to be for you? And that will have a knock-on effect, because the more processed the food is, the more internal inflammation, which is the way body manifests stress inside itself. So the more processed the food is, the more inflammation you're going to have and the worse you're going to feel. So my first step is try and go as natural ingredient as you can. My second step, what we touched on, is learn to unplug. So social media, work, electronics, we should have a deadline in the day, like finishing, like literally putting your phone down and then putting your head on your pillow. That's not going to help you. Our hormones are anabolic, and the way they restore themselves is during sleep. So if you're not getting a decent night's sleep, you're setting yourself up for failure pretty much every day. And then the last thing that I'd say is probably, me and you both love meditation. Like, I can meditate, you can meditate. Some people can't meditate. Like, it has to be learned. Like, some people just assume that you can go on an app, close your eyes and meditate. The brain goes mad when you can't control it. The brain goes absolutely ballistic. So if you don't like meditation or you can't meditate, why not just, like me and my missus, it sounds a bit strange, but we call it romancing yourself. And it's just basically make time to do something that you love, be deliberate, proactive, and do it regularly. So if you're someone who likes golf, go and play golf. If you're someone who likes the gym, make time to go to the gym. Don't just fit it in like and have a stressful, rubbish workout. Make time to do something you love. If you like gaming, make time to do it. Like, you've got to make time to do something you love. What's the point in life if you're just going to go through it, just doing something you hate and not getting any satisfaction or love in your days? Right. So they're the three main points I'd say.
On that last point, that was the revolutionary for me, was I call it my non-negotiable diary. So
yeah,
every few weeks I make sure that everything I want to do, what I call non-negotiable stuff, has to go in. So golf, meditation, school runs, date nights, you know, all the big rocks that I want to get done for that period of time get put in, so that anything else fits around that. If it can't fit around that, you know, hey ho, it's not happening.
Exactly.
Taking control, I suppose, is the word there.
I remember when I was working at a school, something came up in conversation, and one of the members of staff was like, "Oh, you're going to have to stop training then, aren't you?" I was like, "I'd rather quit my job than stop training." Like, like that's my passion, my love. Like, if I weren't to do that, I would quickly become depressed, because I feel like the thing that's correlated most to your emotions and your hormones is your sense of purpose. And if you've got no sense of purpose, if you're doing something you hate every day, that's the quickest way to downregulate your hormones. And I think potentially, along with stress, that is what's causing the significant drop in hormones, because loads of people are doing stuff they don't love, because we're in a society where we have to work to live and we have to pay, and everything's becoming more expensive. So we go and work more. Health is wealth. And we've seen that, like coronavirus. Health, if you haven't got your health, you've got absolutely nothing. So you need to look after your health as your number one principle, and then everything else has to follow that.
Yeah, no, again, massively agree. And it's again a personal experience. I can see that as being so true. It's unbelievable. Let's talk a bit about what you do then.
Yeah.
So you've given us all this valuable information. You know, there's so much I've taken away from it. Sorry, before we move on, meditation. As you said, it's a skill, isn't it? You can't just do it.
You have to learn to meditate. You have to. Yeah.
And like with anything, it takes a bit of time. I know that I've got a scatterbrain, right? Like, literally a thousand thoughts going on.
Yeah.
When I first started doing it, I used to think, this is pointless. Absolutely pointless. Yeah. Now I can disappear, like literally just melt away.
20 minutes like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
20 seconds.
I've got four kids. The house is on fire out there. You know, everything's going mental. But I'm in here every morning, set time, set position, and I know what's happening.
Yeah.
And
everything
else just gone, totally gone. And if you'd go back a couple of years and said that I could do that, I'd laugh and say, no chance.
And that's the thing, like, because we knew each other when we were young. Like, if anyone was to see this conversation, they'd be like, what? Those two. And it's because I say to my missus all the time, like, we mentioned there that we change ourselves all the time. Like, I feel like I've had maybe five or six personalities in my life, because a personality is just basically like a mood, isn't it? So a mood turns into your personality over time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So if I want to be like one way, I'll behave that way, and then that's my new personality. I feel like having opportunity to meditate, to become familiar with yourself It gives you so much more space for growth. Like, it allows you to be a lot more proactive, less reactive. Like, sometimes I watch, my missus, like, absolutely, her romancing herself is watching these housewives and all stuff like that. And sometimes I watch these, I'm like, oh my God, manage your emotions. They're just like kicking off, like being so reactive to stuff, like so angry, so aggressive. I'm like, I don't even think anyone could get me to that point. Even if I got punched in the face, I do not feel like I react like that. I'd be like, it's just about managing your emotions. That's the most important thing about mindfulness, is not reacting like a crazy person.
Yeah, no, definitely. 100% agree. And I was going to say a valid point now. I can't think what I was going to say.
Sorry,
now.
Mate.
No, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Oh, it was something really interesting. Not that I say much interesting, so it was really, really worth waiting for. But anyway, my mind's gone.
Sorry, dude.
That's all right. I'm sure it will come back. I'm sure it will come back.
Yeah.
Let's move it on then to actively what you're doing right now. Then,
yeah.
So where what are you doing day to day? B, how can people find out more? Where can they come to learn more about this sort of stuff?
Yeah. So basically, I was kind of looking into how people coach people, and I just felt there was a massive disconnect with service and results. People were selling people information and not transformation, or quick fixes that would end up just being yo-yo diets. And I just thought, that's pretty rubbish, to be honest, especially when you're so passionate about a topic. And I read constantly, like, Every time I'm driving, I've got a book on the go, like constantly reading. So it got to a point where I was like, why are all these like coaches and PTs and things like that, just the first thing they do when they get a client is just stress. They just make your life more stressful. Like we mentioned earlier, everyone wants it easy. We don't want someone to tell us to work out 6 times a week. We don't tell someone to tell us to stop eating this, stop eating that, start prepping all these meals. So I was like, what is the perfect, like, and only easiest, predictable, fast way to help people achieve this transformation? So the amount of different blueprints I went through, like that, put that up. No, that don't work. Put that up, too much effort. Put that up. No. So what I've come up with is a three-phase periodized approach. And a periodized approach is basically putting things in at different stages rather than just chucking everything on top of you and expecting you to kind of deal with it. So my first set, like we've just spoke about there, is mindset and fundamentals. Like, that's the most important thing. If you can get your mindset right, like if you can say to yourself, this is who I'm going to be tomorrow, and actually believe that, emotions and behaviors are identical. They follow each other. So you have already created transformation. So the first thing you want to do in that situation is remove stress. So like I said, a lot of people just add more stress. So we look to remove stress. Then we focus on your gut health, your metabolism, because they're in your fundamentals. And then from there, we're looking to restore. I forgot who said it. Someone said to me quite recently that a lot of these diets and stuff don't work because people aren't ready. You've got to be at baseline. A lot of people are so compromised. They're nowhere near baseline. So when they try these diets, it's just stress on top of, like I said, accumulated stress. So it's more stress. You're not going to see any significance unless you rest and repair. Then you stress the body. Your body's stressed. It's like a callus on your hand. You cut your hand, you've got a callus. If you then go and lift weights tomorrow, or you put some sandpaper on it, it's not going to, if you let it repair, calluses are thick pieces of skin, aren't they? Like, they grow back thick, don't they? That's going to be stronger than my usual skin.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea behind developing a robust mind and robust body. So then during the second phase, we can repair and restore. So looking more deeply into things like your metabolism, so your metabolic health. So basically that's how your body functions, your gut health. And then the third part is lifestyle integration. So it's about behavior. It's about your habits. It's not about take this pill, take this supplement. It's all about what behaviors are you going to change? What habits, what lifestyle changes are you going to integrate? Like you were saying earlier, you've got your non-negotiables. You're fasting, it's come off, but your meditation is part of your lifestyle. It's part of your personality. And that's what we need to make it. Yeah. So it's a three-phase periodized approach. effectively to first balance hormones, then optimize hormones, and then from there onwards, it's three phases in 90 days. So depending on where the client's at, if we can balance their hormones in 10 days, then we've got all that wiggle room to do whatever you want. You want to build some muscle, you want to lose some fat, but that's not the priority. The priority is to balance your hormones. So if it takes 90 days to balance and optimize your hormones, we're gonna get that transformation.
Yeah.
And that's in a nutshell, that is what the program is.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. And where can people find this though? How can we get in touch with you?
So we do have a free resource that you're part of, the group on Facebook. So that's Natural Hormone Optimization and Adrenal Health. And then from there, we've got an Instagram page that's at unlimited.education. But if you join the group, that you could book a call with me. I'm happy to go through a lot. This is the most important thing. I didn't want to just be like just selling people this like product. Sell it. Like some people aren't even ready for it. So yeah. I mean, if people wanted to jump on the phone with me just to maybe delve into deeper some of the topics that we discussed. I've got a couple of things that I've put out there. So I put like a 30-day challenge out there just so it kind of gives people an insight into what kind of things that we'd look at throughout our time together. I'm starting a movement prescription in December. So December 1st, I'm going to do 20 days of movement. And the idea behind that is when people associate exercise, when people think of exercise, they associate hard, intense, time-consuming, gym membership, things like that. Whilst movement is restorative. Movement is anabolic. Movement helps you to remove stress, like you said, remove anxiety, increase blood flow, improve mobility, especially for the elder generation. Like I've got someone in my group who's in their 70s and their concern is with building muscle. Like as soon as your body starts to lose muscle, then it's going to start taking that energy, those aminos from bones. And that's why you end up having fragile bones and osteoporosis and things like that later in life, or joint issues, connective tissue issues. So it's really important that you make movement, daily movement, a priority. And this 20-day plan, no gym equipment required, probably between 8 and 20 minutes of movement. And it'll just be a lot of the stuff you've seen in like prehab and stuff like that. So like help your knees, help your ankles, help your hips, especially for people that are sitting in the van for majority of the day, like for 2 hours to get to a job and stuff like that. Like I've been there and I found that most struggle I was getting, it was in my lower back and my lats, where I was just sitting, like all the weight was just loaded on top of my spine. And it's just to just get that movement back, get that blood flow back into vital areas. So they're the things that we're kind of doing at the moment that are all free resources. If someone was kind of just wanted to have a little look at what's going on, dip their toe in,
so to speak. Yeah. All right. Well, what I'll do is wherever you're listening or watching this, somewhere there'll be a description and it will, the links and stuff will be in there. And it's come back to me what I forgot.
Good man.
5 minutes ago. You mentioned that there's been like five versions of you.
Yeah.
And that is one of my biggest fears is being the same next year.
Yeah.
It scares the shit out of me. I don't want to be the same. And it's quite funny speaking to someone from back in my school days, because for a lot of people, they know Wayne, the little gobby twat at 16.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything else, you know, because that was who Wayne was. Yeah. And then there's a whole load of people that know the 2016 Brexit speaking, you know, geezer that was shouting down the social medias for 6 months constantly. Yeah, Whereas now there's a whole group of people that know me as Wayne, the motivational, positive business coach that helps people.
Yeah.
And that's evolution. That's growth. And if you're not growing, you're dying, aren't you?
Exactly. And I think you're completely right. I bump into people that I went to school with, and the way that they try and communicate with me is if I was a 16-year-old again. I'm like, I entertain it because you've got to be nice.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not that person anymore. I'm really not that person.
Easy, like, brother, and stuff. Hiya. Hello.
Yeah, this is the fist bump. Okay. Oh, cheers. Yeah. So yeah, I think it is important to grow. Like the amount of people that live in the past. Like that's depression, isn't it? If you live in the past, that's depression. Yeah. And you've got to build positive relationships with the future, because otherwise, if you worry about the future, it's anxiety. So if you're setting goals for yourself, and your mind, like we were talking before the podcast, and we were saying that your mind is so connected to your emotions that just by thinking of something, you're experiencing it. Like if I'm thinking gratitude, when I wake up, I'm gratitude. When I go to bed at night, I'm grateful. How do you think I'm going to live my life? If I'm thinking I haven't got enough money when I wake up and I'm not as whatever successful as I should be when I go to bed, what life am I going to live? It's all about people think it's fluff and they say, oh yeah, positive thinking. And you think that right there is a negative comment. Like you have to set yourself up for success. You have to. Otherwise, what is going to happen to you?
Yeah. I don't know where I got this from, but your mind becomes the map and your tongue becomes the rudder. Like, so what you think is puts it out there, and then your tongue steers you to it.
I love that.
You've got to watch what you think, watch what you speak, do you know,
and
control it, because it has a direct impact on everything around you. And the power of like great gratitude is just, people just underestimate it all, don't they? Like I'm guessing you've read the book, The Secret.
You
know, that was my first like bit of this sort of new world stuff. I've gone on to do a lot more. And for anyone that is interested in that sort of thing, it's, I suppose once you get in it, it's sort of like a life commitment, isn't it?
To learn
it and just sort of master it and just see and where
remind,
it ends up.
And remind yourself of it, because sometimes everyone's human, aren't they? So you do get negative, you do criticize stuff, and then you go back to it and you're like, oh, I'm just polluting myself here. What am I doing? Like, go back and just worry about, like, so many people, especially the people on TV, I find they're so ego orientated. Like, and people on social media that have got a lot of followers, and you can see that it's the following that's done it to them. It's all about them. I do this, I do this, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. You want to step away from the ego, like listen more than you talk. Like I find that some people, like now, you're listening to me talk. Some people, they're not listening. They're just like waiting for their time to talk, aren't they?
Yeah, waiting for their opportunity to jump in. Yeah,
with something that they're like, they'll be like something that's gone, completely gone, and they're like, oh yeah, I remember. You got, like, that's where it's important for mindfulness, because like there's obvious times in conversations where you think of something, you think, what impacts are going to have this conversation? It's not going to have any, just let it go. And that's, you can control those thoughts. You can control ruminants, like ruminating thoughts, like, oh no, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. Mate, when it comes, it comes. Live, it's so cliche, but live in the now, isn't it?
Yeah. See, this is one of the things that I've struggled with Zoom, because when I speak to someone, I work on listening, because if I'm not interested, I make it quite obvious, and like, like the wife will be talking about something, and I'll just be like, yeah, what's for dinner? Wayne, we were talking. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Whereas in person, I was getting in the habit of like, I was eyeballing people, contact, so that my mind, sometimes it got a bit uncomfortable. Like, it was like, why is he staring at me?
Whereas like, the most difficult thing is maintaining eye contact when you're talking. When you're listening, it's easy. When you're talking to someone, try it next time, man. Talk to someone, just try and maintain eye contact the whole time you're talking to them. It does get uncomfortable.
Yeah, and with Zoom, it's even worse, because like, I want to look at you now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the camera, so I should be looking at you, but you're here. You're like over here now, and and it messes me up. I hate it. Like, I probably look like I'm talking off camera now, but me, I'm looking at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you'll find that people, like I say, these narcissists are like, just so interested in their own ego. When they're talking on their stories, they're looking at themselves. They're not looking in the camera. They're looking at themselves. I remember I didn't want to be a troll, so I was like, I'll just put it out into my feed. And I'll be like, oh, guys, just so you know, common practice, look into the camera. Don't look at yourself. And then like, he goes, oh, I guess you're talking about me. And I was like... no comment.
You know blatantly what I'm going to go and do now. I'm going to go through my stories and see where I'm looking.
See where you're looking at. See if you're looking at yourself or looking in the camera.
Oh, God, I hope.
You're a narcissist.
I hope I'm looking at my camera. I hope I'm looking at my camera. Probably not, knowing me. Never mind. right, well, wow, where's that hour gone, man?
Yeah, it's flown by.
That's been fantastic. Yeah. I think there's going to be room for a part two of this one. Because there's so many more questions that I've personally got, and I reckon that once this gets out, hopefully a lot of people will come over and find you anyway. But I think a lot of people will start asking questions in my groups and stuff about this sort of thing. So it'll be great to get some of them compiled and maybe do a little bit of a Q&A and sort of more focused discussion. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Is there anything else you wanted to get across in this episode?
No, it's been enjoyable. Just if they are going to join the group, make sure there's free entry questions. And I think they're just to do with the free resources and stuff like that. So just make sure that they kind of interact with those questions. Just so it's just helpful for me for my own kind of research to understand what people want and what people don't want, just so that I'm not offering some rubbish stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'll put that in the description and stuff as well. So thank you very much, Ryan. It's been an absolute pleasure. For you guys watching and listening, hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next episode. Have a good day, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed the show. I just wanted to pull it out there for anyone listening that I offer business coaching, but also life coaching. My life is centered around something called the 3 Bs, which stands for body, business, and balance. When you work with me as a coach, we tackle all 3 aspects of life. So you as an individual, body, mindset, health, fitness, knowledge, education. Business B obviously stands for your business, improving, maximizing opportunities, elevating, making more money. And balance stands for your friends, family, loved ones, you know, making time for everything in your life. And the 3 Bs is the core element to that. If you'd like to learn more, I would ask you to reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you might be consuming my information. Or you can email me directly at wayne@offthetools.co.uk. I'm here waiting to assist you to elevate across all aspects of life. Have a good one. No excuses. Let's go.